This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The fans need to back the manager and the player, and the players feed off of it. And at the moment, it's just this recipe of I can't see us getting beat, and that's crazy because I expect to get beat at Leeds. But with how it's going at the moment, it's just the perfect situation for us at the moment, at the right time as well.
I'm going to attack here.
Dan.
I haven't said anything for about 20 minutes.
You don't need to say right. The problem is, Dan, right, is that people can see that you're on your phone and they think that. They think that you're just using your phone for Tinder, mate. So that's why they're giving you.
That's how we got our first follower. He's like, "Quick, look, I'm on the podcast. Come and check out my podcast." And
Annabelle, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Look. Tell us why we're dumb then.
Engage with us. This is what we're here for. Yeah. Engage with us.
Patrick, come and join us. Come and join us and tell us why we're dumb.
It's probably
we don't always agree, and we don't always agree with the chat. Us.
Patrick, were you a fairly high level goalkeeper at any point in your career?
Anyway, Mickey, condolences, mate. You've just lost the final to a 17-year-old.
Has he won again? That kind of fucking mental, isn't he?
Pinned the 9 darter as well.
Jesus. What a man, mate. What a man. He's not 16. I refuse that. He's 17. I refuse it. It's just, I refuse. Just to talk to them sort of people. Look, we don't always agree. And you know, it gets quite heated sometimes. But that's what we're here for. We wouldn't be doing it if we all agreed. If we all come on and went, yeah, everything's rosy. If the news come on at 10 o'clock at night and went, everything's sweet. Don't worry. Yeah. You know, see you tomorrow. Everyone go, what the fuck? You know, because you don't, that's what we're here for. So don't have some bollocks about you. You've obviously, you know, we can't be that fucking dumb. You're sitting here watching us. Who's the dumb one? So come and have a chat with us. and tell us your differences, because that's what we're here for. We're here to listen to people. That's why you all come up on the chat and we'll engage with you. It's all fun. It's all good. But don't call us dumb without any context.
No, man.
I've had enough.
Take me short. Anyway, gents, I was going to say, can we move it on some kind of way? I want to have a chat about. I know we said we aren't going to try and diss too many player selections, because obviously what he's doing at the moment is clearly the winning thought. There's one player I want to dig out, and I'm very, very sorry, because he works hard to him, but he just has no quality whatsoever, and I struggle to believe he's a professional footballer.
Just one sec, Dan. I'm going to flash up on another screen, on another. In the green room, don't add me, okay?
And that player, I'm sure, I know Jay's in agreement with me. I'm sure Stephen will be in agreement with me. I'm sure a lot of people in the comments.
Hold on, before you say anything, are you talking about someone that come on?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it is. It's Ryan Longman, and I'm sorry, but he just looks woefully out of his depth, and I'm just like, Brooke Norton Cuffey's sitting on the bench for this guy. And SA sitting on the bench of this guy, Mayer's sitting on the bench of this guy. It's like,
I totally agree.
And what makes it worse, Dan, is the fact that he's also used in a position, or has been used in a position that's just, it's just not going to work with him through the middle.
No.
It's just not.
He went up there for like half hour at QPR away under Edwards, and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's horrific. It's horrific.
If you want to join, we have now got a WhatsApp group for the Sunday Night Live show. There is other, each show's got its own. So if you do want to join, the link now is there in the comments, and then obviously we can continue the conversations after the shows and throughout the weeks and whatnot. So yeah, there'll be one for Friday, one for Sunday, and there's
I do agree with Dan, what Dan's saying there, Watmore as well, but I do want to give Watmore some credit. I mean, at Watford, he was absolutely horrific and he looked absolutely blown after half an hour. He was so bad. But against Birmingham, I actually thought that the first half, he put in a really good shift, and I actually thought he wasn't that bad at all. I thought he had a bit of a wake-up call. He'd never met Harris before, and I think that Watford game was a massive wake-up call to how hard he's got to work. But I thought Birmingham, he deserved a little bit of credit, but to Dan's point, I mean, what is Ryan Longman doing? Is he really good at making tea for Harris? You know, does he get his, put his coat, give him his umbrella for him when it's raining? I don't understand what he's doing to warrant any game time over the players that can play there.
Sign him, to be honest.
Two things to the comment. Do you agree with what Dan said about Longman? You know, put your comments in the chat. And also, do you think it's time that Patrick gets hit with the ban, or should we keep him? Just put ban or keep in the comments as well, and we'll get rid of it.
It really annoys me. What's nonsense? Tell us what's nonsense.
The thing is, moving back to Longman, what concerns me is that he's a lone player. So he's being played over players that are going to be here next season 100%.
Yeah.
Unless there's a deal that's been done in the background that we don't know about, which for me would be shocking piece of business.
Hull will let him go for a packet of crisps.
Yeah.
Nothing would surprise me.
No, it wouldn't. It really, really wouldn't. But unless he's got some kind of deal that means he's staying at the club, I don't know why he's getting game time over other players. I think there was, I don't know if it was Saturday, it might have been against Watford, where the ball come over the top and he ran onto it in the second half to try and get us up the pitch and miscontrolled it out for a throw.
Yeah.
Think
video I put in the group chat, by the way? That was literally a carbon copy of that, wasn't it, from Football Manager?
And that was a chance to break there as well.
Yeah, exactly. I don't doubt his effort, Ryan Longman, because I do think he does try. Unfortunately, that's all he does. And I just don't see why you're... And again, someone put in the chat earlier, and I don't know who it was, and I meant to make a note of it, apologies, about why Brooke Norton Cuffey isn't getting as much game time. I don't think he doesn't like the wing back system. Obviously, Harris isn't going to do that, and I don't think he's going to play him at fullback. But surely, if you want someone to get you up the pitch, you go Norton Cuffey instead of Ryan Longman.
100%.
Can I just say,
even have him starting over Watmore, that could be justified.
Yeah. No, exactly. Hang on, one sec. Stephen. How many days a week do you play football?
Twice.
Right, okay, yeah. Right. Dan, what's your job, without telling who you work for? What do you do for a living?
I'm a journalist.
And you're a football commentator or a football journalist?
I have been a football commentator and football journalist before, yeah.
Okay. And Jay, you just work on trains.
Just choo-choo.
I can't say too much. And Patrick, my job is I am officially 100%. Cunt. So yeah,
was,
you know,
it was cultured. Also used to be fan on the board.
Yeah, I was previously fan on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. The playing the lone players is a big concern for me when you've got people like Adam Mayer, who if it's legs and energy that Harris wants, I mean, sure, the kid's 18 years old. If he hasn't got legs and energy at his age, why is he here? You know, I'd even rather have Joe Bryan play higher up the field. Because of his delivery. Yeah, and he's got a goal in him as well, Joe Bryan.
Well,
and stick Danny Mac back at left back.
I mean, Antrim Hull didn't rate him at all. He said he was shit.
I was about to say to the show him a few weeks ago.
League One Longman.
Absolutely useless.
League One Longman.
That's what he called him.
I think his words were, I can't believe you guys took him off our hands. Do you know what I mean?
I can't believe Longman must do something in training, because that's three managers who are consistently giving him game time.
I know. The thing is, he's versatile, but to be honest with you.
But like, what's Campbell doing in training? Because he's not getting in the squad. Harding hasn't been getting in the squad recently on match day. What are them two doing in training if Longman is still getting in the squad?
Mate,
and more concernedly, getting on the pitch?
To be honest, I could probably look like Messi in training, but put me on a football pitch for 90 minutes and I'll be fucked after five.
It's definitely a cause for, you know, for us to, it's definitely a viable conversation, because these players aren't going to be here next year. And you've got players that are going to be here that we really should be getting a look at now, because if it's effort and care, you know, does Longman really care that fucking much? Because his performances are shit. They're terrible. I'm not doubting he cares.
And I put this in our group chat the other day, and maybe, you know, this might be a good talking point for the audience. Feel free. I don't know whether this has been said or not recently, but I think at the moment Harris is picking the hardest working players, maybe than some of our
better technical
players. And I think Longman falls into the harder working category of player.
I think what he's doing is picking players who can play off the ball. So, you know, when they don't have the possession, they can get it.
And Longman does run around. And Longman has played at left wing back previously quite a lot. He did start there with us at Birmingham away when he was really good. So he can play that defensive side of it. So that left side does suit him. Maybe Barrett's been in Harris's ear and said, look, you probably need to give him a run there, because he played under Barrett. You know, when he Longman was getting games under Barrett. So there's that there. But I just guys like Adam Mayer, Imaku when fit, you know, these guys need to start getting games, because these are the guys that are going to be here next season when we potentially lose 11 of the players that are here this season. Harding is, you know, I don't know what's up with Harding, but would you change that centre back pairing? I honestly think Harding is a Neil Harris type centre half.
I said exactly the same thing, and he didn't even make the squad yesterday.
I think he's that type of player. I think he's good enough to be in Harris's system. I think he's good enough.
I'm going to come back to a couple of these comments in a minute, mate, because I think.
But you know, it's some of the
light.
I was going to say some of the squad decisions are a little bit off. How much is that Harris and how much is that Adam Barrett's input? I honestly think only four games in, it's probably majority Adam Barrett's input. But yeah, it's an awkward one with some of these players at the moment.
What I would say though, is that if we're coming on here, and I think we haven't really spoke about the game yesterday as of yet, and like chances and things that went on, but if the only thing we're really complaining about is the sub of Ryan Longman, it's not a bad, not that bad. I think, you know, again, you know, we'll talk about the game and some bits and pieces. I thought only making one sub up until the point that we scored was looking like it was going to be a horrendous mistake. That was pretty much, you know, we were in the stands thinking, you know, you've got attackers on the bench, you need a goal. What's going on? But I can live with, if we're leaving home games and the only thing we've really got to moan about is that Ryan Longman's getting more game time than other players.
Like I said earlier, who are we at the moment to sit there and start criticising Harris's team selection and Harris's squad that he set out? We've got 10 points from 12 games. So until the day comes where we go on a losing streak, touch wood, that doesn't happen anytime soon or this side of the end of the season, we can't complain. Yeah, we can have our debates, but we cannot complain about it, because it's so far it's been the right decision. We might not agree, but it's the right decision so far.
You were at both of these, weren't you, Stephen?
Longman played well away at Southampton and Blackburn. He showed flashes like the Borough home game. Honestly, nobody at Blackburn played well. Nobody. It was the worst game of football I think I've ever seen.
I'll unreservedly apologise for that.
I'll be honest, Dan, about half hour into the game, I was massively, you know, you're on a hit list. When Obafemi scored his goal, you were the best person in the world. So, yeah, no, Southampton, yes, I thought Longman was okay. But, no one come out of any real credit. Again, grafting performance. But
I do love our listeners, the ones who join like a bit later on, and then they come in like an hour down the line, and he goes, "I'm miles behind, but I agree with Stephen. It isn't just Harris giving them a rocket. It's more tactical than that. It's asking the players to do what they can do, not all about the passion."
Right, let's open this one up again. No, I'm joking.
Don't, please, don't. I can't. Can we just talk about the Jafet Tanganga, please? Because
don't look back, Tanganga, mate.
That the infamous show title by mate Dan
created
got,
by
Dan,
yours truly.
Yeah, created by Dan, the title of the show when he signed in.
That's it. Patrick Turner is Neil Harris. Patrick Turner is Joe Edwards.
Patrick Turner's Alan Campbell.
Oh, before we talk about Tanganga, what idiot made the decision to send Alan Campbell out for the community day? Like, I know they've got to get some money out, like you get the money's worth, but that was such a poor decision.
He might as well do something though, Stephen. Because
I know, but it was
carry
just
the kids
shocking.
Community day, sign some autographs, do something. Like we're probably paying him 40% of his wage. That's how it normally works, isn't it? 60-40.
But wouldn't you think that the current fact that we haven't got people who can score, and the fact that he is probably, I would probably say, he is a Neil Harris type player, that he's still not getting a game. He didn't get a game under Edwards, and he still isn't getting a game. There must be something in that contract. There must be a potential signing, you know, like a sign-on on that loan, that if he plays so many games, because otherwise, why wouldn't people be playing him? And we've had a few of those clauses before, that if you play so many games, then you basically, you know, you can then activate a clause where you have to be brought at the end of the season. And maybe they just don't, you know, maybe they don't want to risk that. They don't, they're like, no, we don't want you.
Yeah, I don't think we should spend too much time talking about Alan Campbell, to be honest, because before we know it, he's going to have come and gone. So I wouldn't waste that breath too much on him.
It'd be a quiz question a few years down the line about who played in a season. But back to
my favorite, hang on quickly, just my favorite Millwall quiz question will forever be: which Millwall player who played it for Millwall in the 2010s got a senior cap for Italy?
Fucking hell, I ain't got.
Oh wow!
There we go. Comment section, get involved.
2010,
Diego
Fabbrini.
There you go.
Oh yeah, Fabbrini. Do you remember him? Yeah.
Omar's favorite player.
He was proper streets will not forget player.
No, Connor, he was got absolutely it. Terrible.
Look, what I want to know is, right, sometimes when these comments come
Fabbrini
in after we've said it, it's like, now, did they just type it after we said it or not? So, right, let's get all tangled up then. Let's
do it.
You know, I did.
Yeah, let's move on to the game and the players we want to credit now.
Takes two to tango, boys. Who's doing it with me?
Should we just stop now?
I did have it in here at one point, but it's not in there now. I did have the old, you know, the Tango Slapman advert. I did actually at some point have that, but it's not in the comments, so I'm not gonna play it. So
Take it away, Stephen.
I think after the Coventry game, when everyone had basically written him off and said, you know, sack him off, send him back to Spurs, he's not good enough. Another channel said that he'd be playing for Bromley around that time. I just, again, the transformation and the calmness of him as a centre back, and also he scored his first goal in professional football for us at Southampton. That was a brave header. Scored a massive goal yesterday. The pictures of him celebrating with Sav and Brian and Obafemi, players like that. He's just a lone player. And again, you, much like Norton Cuffey's start of the season, has come in and is now absolutely loving playing for this football club. And you can see it week after week, especially under Harris.
Yeah, he's a Rolls Royce, mate. He's a Rolls Royce. He doesn't seem to put a foot wrong at the moment, because he's doing what we brought him here to do: be a centre half, win the ball in our box, and try and score in their box. And he's been really, really. And I'm more impressed with the fact that he's got Cooper playing at a very good level as well next to him. So you know the partnership has evolved there. But he just needed games. He hadn't played much. He had that big injury. And he come to us, and it was, like you say, unorthodox type of football for him to play. But these last few weeks, he has been probably, you'd want to say, arguably the best player on the field. He's been flawless. He does nothing wrong. The Southampton game, he must have had to take 6 ibuprofen after that game. I don't think anyone made more clearances in the country at Southampton. You know, he has been absolutely flawless. And credit to him for sticking with it and, you know, and getting himself right as well. And credit for Harris for sticking with him. He could have quite easily dropped him out. He's got no affiliation with Tanganga, but yeah, he's been brilliant. Absolutely, sorry, absolutely class.
We were misquoting another show.
But yeah, he's been top draw, and you know, hopefully he stays fit. Touch wood, we're not jinxing any players here, but yeah, he's been top draw. And some people were saying maybe Spurs are letting him go, or you know, cheeky couple of million. That if he performs like that from now to the end of the season, you've got zero chance of that happening.
No, he's probably, if we're being honest, I wouldn't say he's a Tottenham level Premier League player, but I think on his day, I think he probably is a Premier League player, to be completely honest.
I agree with that.
Augsburg, though, had a clause, didn't they?
They've got an option to buy.
He's not there, it's gone now, but it was for £10 million.
Exactly. So that's
someone will pay that based on these performances. Someone will pay that. He's
an ambitious Championship club who comes down, like Burnley might pay it, whoever gets that third relegation spot might pay it.
Even someone like Leeds United going up, you know, why wouldn't they take him on? I think he's top class.
Yeah, but why would they take him on when they're not playing Cresswell?
I think what Jay's trying to say there is that there will be clubs that will look at Tanganga and say he's very, very good. He's clearly over his injury issues. He's played in the Premier League for Spurs. Why not take a go? I agree.
Quite experienced for 24. Yeah.
That Leeds probably, you know, they've got their centre halves. Maybe not, it might not necessarily be Leeds themselves, but they'll be close.
I could see him if Ipswich go up at Ipswich, for example.
Or Leicester.
Perfect.
But again, I think that the big thing, and it's always for me with, you know, loan players, it is the bravery. It's do they care? Do they really want to be there? And he does. And as Gents, I say, superb.
There you go. There's one for you.
Do you know what? That's an amazing question.
Can we at least wait till the end of the season?
Yeah, I need more than a four-game trip.
If you had the choice to sign either of them permanently tomorrow, who would you pick? And that goes back to Keith.
Tanganga.
Dan?
Let's have a look. Let's put it in there, shall we?
Yeah, let's have an actual poll.
Sign.
I think Tanganga is a better player, but from a business point of view, I'd sign Cresswell because he's younger and has more time to develop and grow.
If we're going to put money and finances and that on the table, if that's what we're doing, you'd probably go with Cresswell. But right now, if I can sign anyone for next season, I'm signing Tanganga all day long. Really am.
I don't know if it's as straightforward as that.
I think it's a really, really tough decision. It's really, really tough. Cresswell's a bit younger. He would cost less.
So who would you rather sign? Tango or Cresswell? The poll is in the chat now. Get yourself voting now. Off you go.
If I was Millwall though, I would 100% be going to Spurs at the end of the season and saying, look, what's going on? There's talk that he only had a year left. There's talk he didn't have, contract, etc. I'll just go to them and say, look, this is what we want to do. This is what we can offer. And just ask the question. If we can't afford him and we can't get him, fine. But at least ask the question. Don't just let him go off and join someone else.
100%.
I hope Alex Mitchell does come back next season.
That's a good point. He's been playing really well for Lincoln, actually, recently. Lincoln have been on a really good run of form, and their fans have really been picking him up.
They're flying as well. They're doing well.
I read somewhere that they
5-1 at the weekend.
That's amazing.
Really good result.
Apparently, the club hadn't been in contact with them, and there was like a deal in place. And apparently, he wants to stay there. I saw quite a lot of that from Lincoln talks. But I think that is for me. Now that Sean Hutchinson's long term replacement. They're very similar. They're very similar type players. And we've still got Okoli as well.
Okoli,
he's a left back, isn't he, Okoli? No, he's a centre half.
Malachi. Who's also been playing quite a lot for Sutton. He's pretty much played every game for Sutton since he's gone in there on loan.
Well, we've got that massive unit who gets on the bench sometimes. That Grant, is that his name? Grant, I think. That centre half.
We do have another young centre half called Grant.
And I was watching warming up, and he's massive. He's an absolute unit, and I think fucking hell, like you sit him next to Archie because he couldn't play with Cooper. You couldn't have two Godzillas at the back, could you?
I mean,
I said Milton quicker than them.
When we played Sutton at the beginning of the season, I don't know what it is with Joe, but he likes speaking to players' dad. But we were speaking to Alex Mitchell's dad, and Alex Mitchell said that he's only really got into football in later years in life because he used to be a championship rower, a really good rower, and hence why he's that build solid because he was used to be a championship player. So
he's definitely someone that we need to have a hard look at when he comes back.
100%. And one other player that I've got a couple of bits that I've pre-prepared for this. Mm. Another player that we need to be having a discussion about very, very soon is Ryan Leonard, because I think Ryan Leonard is 100% a cert for player of the season. If he continues, I just think he stays fit
until the end of the season as well.
100%. And on his fitness, I don't know who it was. It was a long time ago when it was in the summer before the season had even started, talking about how many games we get out of Ryan Leonard. And is it worth giving him a new contract because of the amount of football that he plays? So in the 21-22 season, Ryan Leonard played 19 games and 11 of those were starts. In the 22-23 season, he played 17 games and only 10 of those were starts. So those questions were probably viable. He's starting 10 games of football. That's not really acceptable. And to be fair to him, he's had a couple of injuries, but this year he's played 24 games, starting 24 games and four appearances from the bench. So he's made 28 appearances this season. I know he does have his injury problems, but surely you offer him a new deal next year.
He should reach 30 games this season when the season's out. That's more than enough for me to offer him a new deal, and he will win player of the season, and he's established himself for that right back. And the stats that were put up a couple of weeks back, when we play with Ryan Leonard and when we play without Ryan Leonard, we are two different football teams. We seem to win games and we are more controlled, we are more disciplined and better with Ryan Leonard. You have to give him a deal.
Yeah, I think you do. Who is out of contract actually this summer? I don't think it's one for us to get completely bogged down in this show.
Bradshaw,
Murray Wallace.
No, Murray Wallace isn't. It's Bradshaw, Saville,
I don't think this is one to get.
Oh, Hutchinson is the other one.
We shouldn't get bogged down in this one yet. We should probably wait and find out what league we're definitely in before we run the rule.
That's the thing, isn't it?
That does help, but the thing is, I wish I could find the tweet or what it was, because it was a really good conversation about it, but it was about how much game time you get out of him. And if you are going to get 17 games with only 10 starts, we can't afford that in the Championship. No. But 24 starts, four appearances off the bench. Someone asked how many minutes. I don't know. I don't necessarily know how many minutes he's played. And that quote there from Bailey, do you think it's smart to bet on 30-plus games for Leonard next year when he's 32, if he's one of our top earners? The way his contract was set up, though, I don't know this for sure, but it was probably reduced on the fact that his game time was probably going to be limited. So there's two sides to it, but he's been absolutely superb. He's player of the season for me. That run yesterday in the 95th minute or whatever it was that got the crowd going just summed up that he gets this football club. And he's someone as well that's turned around his Millwall career. Because when he first come in, he wasn't George Saville. He didn't score the goals that George Saville. Yeah. Everyone hated him. Now, first name on the team sheet when he's fit. Superb for me.
And I was really worried when he took it, because I was talking to the guy I normally sit next to, saying, look, Ryan Leonard, can he go this long without getting injured? And literally 10 seconds later, he gets clattered. And I mean, like, clattered. I'm sitting there going, fucking hell, what have I done? Like, and it looked really, really bad. It did look bad. I thought, this is it. This is the end of his season. And, you know, he got up, he stomped it about, he ran it off, and showed that he was all good with that run in the 90th minute. So he's getting a bit more durable. I think Harris will keep him durable. And
he'll manage him a bit. I think he'll manage.
Yeah, definitely. Harris signed him.
There's no doubt. I also...
We've signed Joe Bryan, haven't we? But I don't know what the contract is.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It was out contract.
2 years deal.
I believe it was a 2+1.
Yeah, it was. The other thing with Leonard and other players that perhaps have got injuries, which is why it's unfortunate that the forwards have got the injuries that they have, is that after next week, it's the international break. Yeah. So you've got that, you've got a little bit of recovery time. So if Leonard can, if we can see him through next Sunday.
That's for Leonard.
Who knows? Yeah, again, I mean, obviously 3,208 in 2018-19, that's very, very good. 6 years ago, a younger player and whatnot. But he's already up by, 900 minutes of football this season. We've still got 9 games to go.
Yeah. That's 10 games nearly, thereabouts, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's with him, it's a no-brainer. And,
100%.
You know, that tackle you talk about, Jay, I thought exactly the same thing. I was like, all right, he's off.
Player you don't want to get hurt.
Get Danny McNamara out warming up because that's what's coming. And then thankfully he was up. But excellent, Leonard.
Yeah, totally agree.
So then let's come to some of these comments, what are coming, what I think we do.
Then while we flick through the comments, I'm just going to bring up a player that was on our books not that long ago, now on Birmingham City's books. Wasn't even in the match day squad yesterday. Oliver Burke. Yeah. I just think it's quite interesting, really, how we was kind of relying on him and he isn't even getting in the squad now. Just seems
he is more interested on social media, mate. I've done the Birmingham show and they said the same thing, that they thought they was getting this player with this electric pace. You know, a bit of life from goal.
Me and Ben warned them because me and Ben did the reverse show at the start of the season in September.
Yeah, and they said the same thing. And not being funny, a club like Birmingham, which our class is a very similar club to Millwall, hardened old school football club, hardened old school fans, they're not going to part with that bollocks. And there's no, it's obvious, it ain't working out for him. He's more interested in what him and his missus look like on Instagram and where they're going on holiday rather than strapping up and playing for a badge every week.
Strapping up, mate. Here we go. Right, let's get some of these comments.
I think it said a lot. Particularly on Burke last season, when after the Blackpool game, when the players had a little bit of downtime, he jumped straight on a plane and straight out of the country for a couple of days.
Yeah, and just fucked off. Yeah, 100%.
Danny says, obviously, it's from near on the beginning of the show, but Danny says, the players were able to play the way Edwards wanted them to. Neil was just keeping it simple, plus extra aggression. Disagree, Edwards was a cheap option. Gambled, who the mastermind?
Maybe. Aldo,
done there. We're looking at Edward wasn't the right person. Wrong time, bollocks. It's a shame he didn't work out, but he didn't have the players or he didn't have enough experience to help him out. Any coach would get hampered by Aldo. I've said this for ages. Joe Edwards needed to play a back four. It's clear to see that it's had a massive impact. It's poor management on that behalf alone. Get the best from what you have and was very stubborn. Surely Hutch, here we go, we're coming on towards Leeds in the set. There's a couple of one there for Leeds. So Sav Hutch, Savile Leonard have to move on next season. It's compared to what we were talking about a minute ago. We need a drastic change now to progress with a new manager.
So he's not mentioning people like Bradshaw. Like I would, all three of them would get an offer for me. Hutch would get a very low, come stick around and be a leader in the dressing room type offer for me. Yeah, play as you play. But Savile and Leonard, like, out of all the ones that are out of contract, they're probably the two that deserve the contracts.
Yeah,
like Bradshaw for me has done nothing. He's had one year where he scored goals.
Bradshaw, I don't think I would offer Bradshaw a contract.
Not at all. Honestly, Dan, as you probably was going to say, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Geezer's been on the injury table more than he scored goals for us. He had one good season last season. What's he done for 7 years? Nothing. Someone tell me why he deserves a contract.
I don't think he deserves the contract. I think he's been unlucky to be after last season to have the injuries he's had this year. But that's just a sign of that's just a sign of what happens to footballers when they get a little bit older. Yeah. I must say, Hutchinson, I think he's one that probably does need to step away.
I do think Hutch might need to. Hutch is one that I'm very much on the fence with because I do feel like. Maybe just one more year, because I think next year is going to be kind of another transitional year. Would we be better off keeping him, especially if we're going to integrate players like Alex Mitchell into the starting 11 and stuff like that?
Is he maybe play like you said, on? Then?
No, that's it. But it's one for you. BNC, too lightweight for Harris, do you think?
I don't think he's
a Harris-type player.
Yeah, no. I think he's that.
Do you think BNC and Brian as wingers?
Yes, they could. I think they could.
Yeah.
I'd happily have them both play there as well.
And we're going to get on to Leeds in a minute. Do you think it will be Hutch, Tandanga, Cooper, Brian in defence for Leeds? That's an experienced back line.
I don't think he'll change the back line from the weekend.
No.
This
one will make you laugh. Obviously, Stephen, you need to be a bit careful because he sits right in front of you with your comments. Why don't we try Wallace up front? Uses both feet, heads a ball, and has been known to score a few.
Dan, I'll let you play that one.
Yeah, I actually have met Mike a couple of times. He actually, we often see him on the train back from games. So, evening, Mike. But I'm sorry, I can't get on board with this one. I'll be honest with you.
Choo choo.
Yeah, I know. Well, the J train as well, innit? So maybe Jay's driving the train for all I know. But no, I can't. Can't get on board with that one, mate. I'm sorry. That's just no. I think Murray Wallace, I think he's another one who's out of contract, and we probably need to be showing him quite swiftly to the door, to be completely honest.
Is that true? I saw that the other day. Is Mayer on 9 yellow cards? One more, he gets a ban, gets a free.
No,
ban.
He's no. When we signed him, he was actually suspended for the first game we signed him because he got 10 yellow cards.
Yeah, he's got a clean slate now.
He wasn't, was it? Who was it? Hull. He couldn't play. It was the whole game he was suspended for it. Before he'd even kick the ball for us, which is great. Great.
Yeah.
Love it.
So Neil Harris talked up Casper in his post-match yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Somebody go and tell Joe Zampa.
Casper's got a massive part to play in this football club, and Harris knows that. It's just come at the wrong time for someone like Casper, because there's a proper football player there, but we don't need great football players. We need soldiers, and Billy Mitchell... Yeah. For all the people that slagged him off, Billy Mitchell is playing very good football at the moment.
Yeah.
Can't argue with it. I tried to avoid it after the Southampton game. I was like, it's one game, you know, we'll see. But he's doing it. Look, listen, I'm more than happy. I've done it with Fleming and I'll do it again with Billy Mitchell. The effort and the work rate and the commitment to the calls from Billy is superb. I don't think you're ever going to get the goals and assists from him. I don't think it's ever going to be part of his game. But he's been very, very good in that midfield. Him and Savile, it's no coincidence, is it? The midfield we had last year that were on fire. The two of them were so good together. Yeah. Have come back and it's
he's the white Jimmy Abdou, mate. Every manager that come into Mill will try to out Jimmy Abdou because he said he can't play football. But what Jimmy Abdou was really good at was getting told, that geezer there, that number six, you sit on him for fucking 90 minutes. don't leave him alone. Hustle him. When you get the ball, Dan, give it to him and let him do it. That's what Jimmy was good at, and that's what Billy's good at. Billy's got so much energy, and he's actually not that bad on the ball as well. He clears up really well. He spreads the play a bit. And these last four games, nothing has gone through the middle. No one's been able to drive through the middle of us with Sav and Billy in there. Everything goes wide. That's part of the game plan, but credit where it's due to all of them. But Kasper will play big part next season, because we're not going to play this style of football next season, regardless of who the manager is.
No, I think to be honest, maybe moving forward next season, I think Kasper and Billy might be the go-to duo midfield.
And do you know what, Dan? You say that pre-season, it was Kasper and Billy playing in and that game against Charlton, and for they was really, really good. Really, really good together. So they played a lot in the pre-season. So yeah, that could well be the partnership. And it would work. They'd counteract each other. Billy sits and Kasper can dictate play. It is the perfect storm.
That's it. On we're that just point putting there. The poll. Sorry, we're just putting the poll. Leeds versus Millwall on Sunday. What do you think the result's going to be? Is it a Leeds win, a draw, or a Millwall win? All very level at the minute. So get yourself on there to vote. And also, don't forget while you're there, just press the like button as well.
Please. I actually think as well, just on a side note.
If you're not already subscribed, then do subscribe.
I'm not going, but I actually think a lot of the people from the podcast are actually going to be at Elland Road on Sunday.
Yes, mate. I'm there.
Mickey's there. Stephen, you're going, aren't you?
No, Sunday.
Oh, you're not? Okay, I thought you was going to be going. Omer's going. I believe Ben's going as well.
So, Omer's going with me.
Ben's all over the Northern ones, isn't
he?
Just a couple of things. That this point there, Billy did get an assist against Blackburn. I don't think it counted for him because it ricochets off of come off of Femi, and I don't think it counts. And there was a comment, and I am doing it because I'd had this conversation with him and I said that I'd bring it up tonight. I think my dad commented about where does Kevin Nisbet fit if Neil Harris is going to be manager next season? Where does Kevin Nisbet fit in a Neil Harris side? Does he play?
I think he does. I think there's a player with Kevin Nisbet.
He's a great
finisher.
Yeah, I think, let's be realistic here, a lot of players you see sometimes can take him a season or so to transition into English football, especially because of his injuries. Maybe he is someone who could maybe thrive in the next season. Maybe he'll be someone that they keep around as an option. I don't know. I'm sure they're going to have some striker targets to get in the summer. But I think he's definitely be someone who they're going to want to keep around, especially considering they invested quite big money in him as well.
Yeah, I like Nisbet. He went on a little run as well, didn't he? Got that goal at Birmingham, and you know he scored like 3-3, and then earlier on in the season at Stoke, well took finish and was firing pre-season. I mean, he was firing goals galore pre-season. I thought we stepped on like a gem here, but I think there's a player there with Nisbet. I just think it's like you just said, Dan. It's taking him time to acclimatise himself. And next season, it'll be better for it. And yeah,
it's better football, isn't it, really? I suppose, you know, compared to Scotland. So.
Yeah, and there's a finisher there. He's almost like got a bit like Gregory-esque about him. You know, he's got a bit of good movement and he can finesse that ball really well. And he finds them pockets. Guy's been out off-season, there's more goals than Bradders. Exactly. This is my point on Bradders. Anyone that wants to sign Bradders to a new deal, you might as well take a £50 note out of your pocket and set it on fire. Because that's what you're doing to it. The striker position as a whole definitely needs to be addressed properly as a matter of urgency and top priority. I think we need a big man. I really do. We need a target type man for a plan B.
Matt Smith.
I'd love Matt Smith.
Someone in that kind of model, we do need someone like that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because we need to, if this is the, you need a plan B, you know, you have to have a plan B. And at the moment, we've got three subpar 5'10 strikers, not very aerial, quite low to the ground type strikers, a little bit of physicality, but not much. So we need a complete opposite to counteract it. Because if you want to play two up top, or you're 1-0 down with 5 minutes to go, you want to start smashing it in the box. So it does need to happen.
Matt Smith, league goal scorer in League Two.
He is. He's got 23 goals. And the thing with that is as well, Salford are 20th as well. They're not even doing very well. He's got 23 goals.
Yeah, and another thing.
If he was 23 and not 33, I'd take him.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I'm not saying we signed Matt Smith, but what I'm saying is that you know that.
What about?
Oh, crikey, Moses.
He did score at Elland Road, though.
He did, yeah. Just for those of you
what a one game contract.
For those of you listening as a podcast, Keith Casey's put in the chat. Tom Elliott's a free agent.
No, not a chance.
We need that 6'9".
Who's got spare 15 million lying around then at the minute? Anyone?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Sheffield Wednesday go down, I'll be calling him up about that Adogie, whatever his name is, Ugbo.
He's only on loan there at the moment.
Is
that's
he?
Annoying. Yeah, he's on loan. He was at Cardiff earlier this season.
I saw it when he come down to us. I thought, fucking hell, this is a handful, this fella.
Yeah,
well, I'd love to go after someone like that.
He's only on loan there. Another comment I'm just going to pop back up. I think Mickey did flash it up on the screen. Could we go back in for Kiefer Moore? We could go back in for Kiefer Moore, but he would reject us again. I just can't be bothered being linked to Kiefer Moore. And probably we'll probably be linked for Jamal Lowe as well.
I was just about to say.
Fucking Jamal Lowe, that war. Yeah, no, at some point we need to. But this is the problem with the black books that we have at the Den, where it's the same players every year we're linked with. They get a year older, their stats don't get any better, but yet again, we want to bring them to the Den for some reason. We signed Matt Smith 5 years too late. We seem to sign these players too late when they eventually no one else wants them. They go, well, Millwall would definitely want me because they want me every year.
Yeah, Kiefer Moore will never sign for this football club. He would have signed for us by now. He's had 3 or 4 chances. He literally didn't come in the summer because he didn't want to sign for Millwall. And that's why he's now at Ipswich.
That's it. Good evening, Millwall Poland. Welcome to the channel and watching us. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it is a problem, though. It is a problem.
Lyndon Dykes would be linked with in the summer again, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'd love Lyndon Dykes, personally. I don't actually mind
Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah. I think he's got a bit of bad.
Sam Gallagher.
I just think that's.
I like Sam Gallagher, but I think Kevin Nisbet.
I think a financial outlay for Sam Gallagher. I think Ipswich had like 2.5 million turned down for him in January.
Yeah. Do you know what I'd love? Luke Jukovic from Birmingham. If they go down, I'd absolutely take him.
That would be a 1 year solution because he's like 34 years old.
Yeah, he's getting on, but I'd absolutely take someone like that. Let's get Nikola Zigic on the phone. And see if he must be out of a job.
Rob Hulse rejected us countless times and eventually ended up here. Look how well that turned out.
Yeah. He did score a worldie though. We can't forget that worldie he scored.
Yeah. What about Meyerhofer? Meyerhofer's a lump. Is he still there?
That day at Middlesbrough though.
That hat trick at Middlesbrough. That was unbelievable.
Devante Cole. That's not a bad shout actually. Devante Cole. He's been banging him in the last few seasons in League One. He has always struggled, but. Maybe the time might be right. He's coming into his prime.
Let's see. I mean, that rumour's been flying around about the Stephen Naismith. I mean, but it comes from a clickbait site. So whether or not there's any real weight in that, or that. Not, I don't know.
Just putting our situation and two together, I think. You look at all the clubs linked with him. They're all clubs that are potentially going to get rid of their manager or have done. So,
yeah. Jay's golden oldie squad.
Yeah, mate. Bring them all back.
There was a quote, a comment. I think it might have even been Dave himself saying about bringing the average age down of the squad, which is I think the big thing. That's where I think the club's going to either make or break in the summer because under Edwards that 100% would have happened.
Yeah, agree. I think it needs to.
It does.
Within the next couple of years, I reckon within the next few years, Steve Morrison will be here. I think.
Every chance when Harris goes, we go for someone else, and then maybe we go for Morrison after that, depending on how his career's gone. I mean, I think he has a poison chalice at Sutton. I think they'll probably keep him because they're not the most financially well-off club. But if he can do well in the National League, bring him back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that comment from the oldest squad in the league. We have fact that this is what I'm saying. You can't just keep signing all the older players. I know we've said about Leonard, Saville, Hutch. We spoke about them, and we've got different opinions on them. But Harris is going to have to look at this team and go, we can't do this anymore. We can't have that. We've got to bring the average age down. There was a quote, another comment on there, a really good one about Olafi. We've got a buyback option on Olafi. He scored goals in League Two. Stockport are doing relatively, I think even they might even be in the top three or at least in the playoffs. So he's done very, very well. Is that something that the club would look at? Who knows? But that would excite people more, bringing in someone like that, I think, than going for these older, you know, journeyman players that perhaps. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Olafi's the answer before anyone says that, but it would excite me more than buying a 33-year-old striker that's played for 20 clubs in his career or whatever.
Yeah. Someone like you, it's unfortunately, Joe.
I mean, I don't think we've said yes to Morrison, but I can see it happening.
Yeah, everyone can see it happening.
I can see the Morris. He gets on with the board. He gets on with people within the club. So, yeah, it's, you know. But does he have the experience and the thing? I don't know. But he definitely gets Millwall. So, yeah. Game's changed. You need athletes now to keep up with the pace of the game. You do need faster players now. You know, the likes of, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, when you had wingers, and now you don't really have wingers in the game. I don't think you really... you get anyone now of a young age training to be a winger now, do you? It's more of a
inverted forward or,
whatever.
That's where, though, and again, Harris's tactics and the way that we're playing, it's efficient, it's getting us results. But if you do need a goal and you need people that can take their fullbacks on, that's Honeyman and Duncan Watmore, who, whilst Watmore will run, and I don't ever see him actually take anybody on. We need to have that old school, you know, Mayer, Brooke Norton Cuffey, who likes to take people on. I still think there's a place for it. I do
agree with Chris. Do you know what I mean? Realistically, why are we talking about League Two players? Because the Championship now is so different to
it really is. But if you look at, and again, another player, and it is a League Two player, Macaulay Longstaff at Notts County has scored so many goals. But how many clubs in the Championship would want to take a punt on him, do you think, if they could afford it?
I think a lot of clubs would take a punt on him, to be completely honest.
Which is why there are still gems to be had in League Two if you look in the right places, and League One as well.
I was about to say, there's one, Ollie Watkins, but the problem is you have to find these guys before they've even played for the first team, because Ollie Watkins, I think Brentford sold him for like five, they sold Brentford for like £5 million plus a really good sell-on clause.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy's another one, you know, even what we did with Lee Gregory. We took Lee
Gregory, Morrison as well.
Yeah, Morrison was at Stevenage, and Gregory was, where was Gregory at again?
Halifax.
He was there with Vardy.
So, you know,
they had to be fair.
There is these players out there, you know, you can shop in the lower leagues, you really can. But you have to hit, you know, you can't have a guessing game. It has to hit or it's a miss.
Who's coming in the room, Dan?
I don't know. I heard someone coming upstairs, so I thought I'd close the door in case someone tried to walk in.
It's just made that room look really small, the way you just went onto the door where it looked quite door, far back, but you just literally put your hand across and done.
But
going
on to the recruitment, just sticking with that or finishing up with that so we can move on, is that we don't even know what league we're going to be in. We don't know what budget we're going to have. We don't know what players are going to be retained, what ones are going to be let go. That is a pod in itself at the end of the season.
At the end, just we know recruitment. What league we're in,
exactly. So, you know, we can speculate all we want on recruitment, but there's a lot of moving pieces before that happens, even if Harris is still in charge. So, there's a lot to go on before we start talking about the Kiefer Moores of the world or whether we should actually be shopping in League Two. Because that's where we've got a shot if we're in League One.
Yeah, no, I get that. Right, the gents, we've been going for about an hour and 40 minutes, and I think we're going to drag this to a close. So we will start in reverse order, and we'll go with you, Jay, first. Any final words, fella?
Do you know what? I haven't, because everything that we've spoke about since Harris has come in has been said over and over and over again, and this train just keeps rolling. Now, the only thing I want to say, pun intended, is just fucking keep it up. Don't get your heads down. Don't let this little gap we've created now between us and the bottom three, this very, very small gap, this little bit of light we can see, Do not let it take our eyes off of what's important. Don't let it distract us. Don't take our foot off the gas, because there's still a lot of work to be done. No one's expecting us to get anything at Leeds. No one's going to expect us to get anything West Brom at home. But we can, because we've proven that. And we're one of the most formed teams in the league. Take that belief. Take it into Sunday's game. Come away with 3 points. And that could be a wrap if results go our way again. You know, so yeah, just keep our feet on the
Sunday. So we're going to be in a nice
so we'll know exactly what's going to happen when Sunday comes around. So yeah, just keep our foot on the gas. Don't let this little bit of light and this little gap, this mid-table look, take our mind away from things. Don't think we're safe, because we ain't.
Definitely not, Chris, mate. Definitely not.
Got it, Dan. Any final words, fella?
It's been good to be back with everyone, getting involved. Good to spend the night with you guys, even if it was a listening brief for about 20 minutes, listening to Mickey and Stephen going at each other. Usually I'm used to Mickey and Omar going at each other in the group chat, so it's nice to see Mickey can have a fight with someone else as well. But no, really good to be back. Yeah, and as Jay said, you know, we've done so well in the last few games since Harris has been back. Feels like there's more unity and the club's been more galvanised really since arguably tail end of last season, arguably going even further back, to be completely honest. There's a really good feeling around the club at the moment. We actually go to Leeds now with a little bit of belief that we might be able to get something up at Elland Road. We know what Harris is like up there and sometimes getting results. So obviously, as I said, I won't be there. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see what happens. And Omer and Joe, or Ben, if you're still listening, we'll be doing a pre-recorded show in the week.
Yeah, I might even. But yeah, look out for stuff on Sunday, because there might be some content up there. So yeah, we'll do some content.
Yeah, we'll have to work out. We'll have to work out our plans for a Sunday night live next weekend. But
yeah, I'll be back.
We'll figure something out.
I'll probably be back. So yeah, Stephen, what do you want to say,
fella? Just a couple of things from me. Last Sunday, we had no Mickey. On Friday, there was no me. But the dream duo of the lives of me and Mickey were back to have a little scrap. But as he said earlier, we're all good. We all we do this because we're passionate about the team and we love doing it. So it was good to have a show back with you, Mickey. And in terms of Millwall, 10 points from the last 12. Can't remember the last time we got a penalty. We've had one under Harris. Can't remember the last time we scored a 90th minute winner. We've had one under Harris. As Neil Harris said in his interview, he's never been fearful of going to Elland Road as a Millwall player or Millwall manager, and it's not about to start. We can go to Leeds next week and win. It'll be tough, but we can go there and upset the odds.
That's yeah, fuck them.
Listen, we put the poll in. Leeds versus Millwall, draw 39%, Millwall win 33%, Leeds win 26%. If that was, you know, a few weeks back, mate, that would have been completely the other way around, mate.
Would have been about 90%.
But listen, right, we're going in with nothing to prove, nothing to lose, mate. It's just go out there all out. And I think it's time to go there and show what's all about, mate. And everyone loves an upset at Leeds, mate. It's just great. So yeah, that's it. Thanks very much for joining us in the chat somewhere, and on the show notes after the show will be the link where if you want to join in with the new WhatsApp stuff we've got going on, then get yourself in there. All the boys are in there, and we just look to continue the shows going forward. Hopefully there are different groups for different shows, and hopefully at some point going forward some of you will want to get in, so we will be linking the WhatsApp into the chat, so that if someone wants to leave a voice message then, or a video message or whatever, we can then play into there. And then also there is one of the groups which is a match day, so again, if you want to get involved, where all of us are having conversations about the match and everyone else, that's now, there's nearly 50 odd people who've joined up already. It's only been live since yesterday, second half or whatever. So it's all good banter, and thank you very much as usual to join. Make sure you press like, make sure you subscribe, and if your mate hasn't seen us yet, why not just send him a link to the show.
And good night to Pat as well.
Who?
Good night to Pat as well. Thanks for tuning in, Pat.
Oh, Pat
come back,
Turner,
come back on Sunday night.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Getting hit with 50 messages a minute. I don't care, mate. The other boys are all at me and they can deal with them. Anyway, that's it from us. See you later.
Oh, giddy up and get away. Oh, we're going Millwall and we're going today. Here we go. We're rocking all over the day.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.